Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Morning Breakfast Learning Center. We're so glad to have you all on the line. Truly excited to share in the Word as we reflect on love, lust, or finances. As you know, we've had an amazing week of amazing calls, and it is just so much. There's so much meat to just share on, and it was like, oh my gosh, what pieces are we going to share? But we're looking forward to what God has truly given us, and truly hope that it's something that you all can definitely feed on. So let's go ahead and introduce our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr. Good evening, Mr. Carr.
How are you doing? Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good deal, good deal. So we're going to go ahead and get started with our Learning Center tonight, and I do encourage everybody to still take notes. Can't have enough notes. It's something that you can always go back and review and reflect upon and things like that. And actually, when you take these notes, make sure you go back and really start to break things down and understand it. I think that's more important than anything else. One thing that I've encountered, you know, throughout the years, and it's very vitally important that we do understand, it's nothing like learning something and actually taking it away and actually applying it. Okay. And the reason why we do the Learning Center is so that we can actually go back and revisit some things, reintroduce, you know, some things, or even introduce some new things that you may not have heard throughout the week. But it's important that we actually take the Word of God, understand the Word of God, and apply the Word of God. See, the devil tries to break us down in so many different areas, and it is vitally, vitally important that we actually apply what we've learned. Because if you have something and you don't use it, then what good is it to you and others? It's no good. You know, this is why the Bible said there's hearers and there's doers. Okay, and we want to be amongst the doers. All right?
Amen. Good deal. Yes, sir.
Start off with prayer, Miss Tiana. Go ahead and open us up with prayer.
All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for the opportunity to be here, to truly praise your name and just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share on your word. Heavenly Father, as we go forward with what you've given us to share tonight, Heavenly Father, may we all be here with open hearts and open minds to receive your love, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, as we move forward and discuss love, lust, or finances, may we know that it is you, Heavenly Father, that we must choose in and through each and every situation. Heavenly Father, we are just grateful for this ministry, grateful for this platform, grateful for the opportunity to continue to serve you. As we thank you again, dear Lord, as we move forward on this call, bless all of those who are hearing of this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Now, look, I want to break down something real quick before I hand the call over to Miss Tiana and Miss Latonya. When we talk about love, lust, or finances, I'm really, 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 you know, I just delve into this lust part. Because this is the part that actually gets us in trouble with God.
Yes, sir.
I just want that to marinate for a second. Because the typical person thinks that lust is what, Miss Latonya?
They think that lust is sex.
Mm-hmm. See, sex. What is another one, Miss Tiana?
They think that lust is actually love.
Could be thinking it's love, okay. So these are things that we think lust is, but we got to be very, very, very wise. Now, the Bible says be careful because the devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour.
Right. That's right.
Okay. So this is the great setup. We never think that lust is a desire. Anybody have a dictionary next time? Look up the word lust for me. Somebody. Anybody on the computer or something, look up the word lust, and let's look at the definition.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It says a very strong sexual desire.
Okay. Now, we've openly said that that's what the human nature is, but we actually want to take a step further. Lust is more than a sexual desire. See, the enemy wants us to categorize it just as sex, nothing else. Because then if I can get you off of thinking that, if I can get you into thinking that it's only sex, then if you can overcome the sex hurdle of the strong sexual desire, then you're good to go. Then you no longer have lust in your life. In other words, if you have other desires that you won't fulfill as long as it's not sex, you're not lusting.
Come on, man.
But that's a trick of the enemy. This is where it's about to get tricky. Listen to this. Lust in itself, rightful from God, definition-wise, lust is a strong desire that supersedes his will.
That's right.
You know, when we start saying stuff like, I just had to tell somebody this. I just had to. God, you're going to have to forgive me. In other words, your lust is so strong to you telling God what he's going to have to do because you're about to sin. And you're telling him to his face, I'm going to sin, and you're just going to have to forgive me.
Come on.
Meaning that I'm going to do it my way, and you're just going to have to accept that as it is. And you're supposed to call yourself love, so you got to forgive me, love. Ain't that boastful?
Very much so.
Parents on the phone, if your child told you, if you don't have no children, if your niece or nephew told you, you're just going to have to forgive me, but I'm about to go out and do what I want to do, what you going to do? I don't care how old they are. What you going to do? They going to tell you what you got to do? But see, let's speed back up to reality. That's what we tell God when God, you just got, God going to have to forgive me on this one. Wow. So we tell God what he got to do. Is that not lust? In other words, my desire to do what I want to do is so strong to where I know you're right, and I don't want to do it right now.
Yes, indeed.
Very fair to say that lust is way more than a sexual desire. Lust is a desire. Lust can be an emotional desire. You know how many conversations I come across on a daily basis? And people say, I know, but. Wow.
Mm.
When you know better, you do better. You just said, I know, but. Wow. Y'all know that's strong?
It is.
Yes. It is.
My lust, my desire to be right, my emotions, I'd rather follow my emotions than follow God's will. Y'all, this is strong now. Lust, love, finances. We let our emotions govern us where God said no. God doesn't want your emotions. And you might say, well, Mr. Carl, we have emotions. Yes, we have a lot of things. You have flesh. Flesh ain't going nowhere. Flesh is going to go back to dirt. Are you going to stay here, or are you trying to make it to heaven? But you got flesh. So just because you have something don't mean that you have to use it in the wrong way. You have the ability to hurt somebody right now. Go get in your car, and you can go 40 miles per hour and take somebody just like that. You have the ability to do that. You know that, right?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. But the Bible says self-control. Why is self-control a fruit of the Spirit? What are you controlling? That means you ought to put our emotions and things like that in check. The reason why I'm harping on emotions, Miss LaTanya, is because Satan uses emotions as a form of lust that we don't think that that's lustful. We don't think that, well, I speak my mind is lustful. But you speaking your mind is the desire that says, I'm going to blabber my mouth and say whatever comes to my mind at any cost, no matter what you think. But the Bible says self-control. So how can you be lining up with God and you have no filter?
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Is that lust or what? Because lust, by definition, is a strong desire that overrides God's will. Now, if we don't know what God's will is, then we see why we always fall in lust, and we don't even know it.
Yes, Lord.
Bible tells us to crucify our flesh on a daily basis. I don't care how saved we are, sanctified and Holy Ghost filled, set apart we are. Don't you know that your flesh can rise up very quickly? I have these conversations. It's mighty amazing how our lust dwells in us so vastly when we choose to follow emotions, our desires. Emotions are always going to give you what you want, not what God wants you with.
That's right.
instance, you can help the homeless out right now and give and give and give, but how is God getting the glory? Are they getting closer to God, or you just feel better?
Yes.
Come on.
You keep on helping somebody out, and they're not getting closer to God. What are you doing? Because the word of God said the word of God would draw or drive. So either they should be getting closer to God, or they should be running away from you.
Right.
But how can somebody remain the same, and you say you're doing God's work?
Come on.
My question. Is that because of our lust? Because our desire is to make us look good and not God look good? See, when we try to make us look good, people will remain the same. But when we try to make God look good, they have to make a decision. Either they're going to jump on board or they're going to get away from you. Because they don't want to hear the word of God. That's why a lot of people don't call in. They don't want to hear the word of God, or they call in because they're saying, I made a decision that I want to get better. But how can they remain the same? You cannot possibly be in God's presence and remain the same. I'm trying to help us out with lust. Y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes.
These things get gut-wrenching. The reason why I bring this up is because, see, when we deal with that old flesh of ours, we deal with that old flesh of ours, that old flesh will start talking to us and bringing us to a place to where we don't want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
It'll even have us overriding God's word because we always say, I know but. Why you got to say but when you're addressing God? Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
He's on up. God said crucify the flesh daily. He's saying get rid of your lust daily because they're going to grow back. Mr. Carl, when they grow back, I don't know, maybe overnight. But they're going to grow.
Yep.
That's sin nature. It's in our nature to sin. But God didn't want it to be an easy walk. He wanted it to be an uphill walk. In other words, we can't do it without him. That type of walk.
Amen.
Y'all do know that when we sin, we chose to do it lust way and not God's way because we have an option. See, people say, well, we're going to sin anyway. That is a L-I-E. The Bible tells us to go forward without sin. He told that to the woman. So what if she told Jesus, the one who was about to be stoned to death, Miss LaTanya? Hold on. We talking about lust. Jesus, I still can have desires, and I'm going to sin. But he told her to go this day and sin no more. Now, see, this is where we kind of fall short with the Bible, y'all. Because our lust mind says that's impossible. But our faith mind says it's possible. Because the faith mind says I can do all things, not some, but all. But the lust mind is so strong to that we don't want to believe that part of it. Mr. Carr.
Right.
Battle with that scripture right there. We battle with it because if God told you right now, go this day and sin no more, you would battle with it. You know why? Because your desires are so high sprung, meaning that I plan this and plan that we don't want to let go of what we plan, our desires, in other words, our lust. And remember the Bible says we are drawn away by our own lust. So we don't want to let go of our future aspirations, our lust, because God's will is not important to us. So therefore, oh, I'm gun sin. In other words, I'm going to do it my way. Oh, my God.
Tell the truth.
Y'all, these are real conversations that make people run. But the real is going to stay in God and grow. This is why everybody can't go to heaven. Because they choose not to. It's a choice. If God told you today to sin no more, your lust would say, I can't do that. Your spirit man would say, yes, you can. Now, who got to make that decision? Your soul?
Mm-hmm.
Mind, body, and spirit. Remember that? Mind, soul, spirit. Spirit, soul, body.
Mm-hmm.
Your spirit man say, do right. Your body saying, do wrong. Your soul has to make a decision. Mm-hmm. You can be the sweetest pumpkin pie to everybody in the world. But remember, God judges man. The intent. Mm-hmm. See, then when people say, don't judge me, I ain't judging you. I'm just passing on the judgment. The judgment has already been made. The Bible is the judgment. The Bible is the law. I don't have room to judge nobody. I'm just telling you or repeating the law. The law says only go 45 miles per hour. Don't get mad at me when I say you're going over the limit, talking about you judging me. No, I'm not. That's the law.
Right.
But we don't like to be reminded of the law when we're breaking it, do we?
Come on.
I mean, don't just sound like the enemy. He never likes to be exposed, Miss Tiana.
Yes,
why
indeed.
Darkness. You know why? Because it's hard to see in dark. Why you think the Bible says the children of light? Because light exposes stuff. Nobody likes to be in light. That's why we do our devious deeds with the lights off, don't we?
Come on.
I ain't never seen nobody get married in the dark. Because that's sacred. Oh, my God. Y'all want to hear the truth? Here you go. This is a learning center.
Yes.
Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes.
This is important that we understand that lust is way more than sexual desires. We are drawn away by our own lust. Drawn away, that means we are drawn away from God. A lost sheep. And when you run on one, mano y mano, you are rendered powerless to a vicious lion. A lion pride, I love studying. I don't know about y'all. Y'all can go look it up on YouTube and stuff. A lion is, the lioness is the female. She will protect her young even if it's a male lion at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
At all costs, she will. She'll fight that male lion. Mind you, she's weaker. She's not as large. She doesn't have a strong bite. The more testosterone a male lion has, the blacker his coat is. And all that hair around him, the stronger ones are tend to be black, not golden.
Yes. Yes.
Right? But that little bit old lion cub that's drawn away, what makes them walk away from the pride? Curiosity. Don't they pull us away from God? You know, we'll be pulled away from God because our TV show be on and we don't have time for this right now. We'll catch it next week, and next week never come because it's going to be on again. It's just a snare by the devil. Sometimes we only call in on the topics where it's good and juicy and it referred to us. But I didn't think that this life was your own, so you need to be learning stuff not just for you but for other people around you.
That's right.
But our lust pulls us away from God. And before we know it, we're looking up for the pride. But we done had our head down in our own desires, and the more you have your head in your own desires, the further you pull away from God.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the Bible says he'll give you the desires of your heart. He said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, to delight yourself in the Lord means to make him happy. Guess what the Bible says? The only thing that makes God happy is faith. Guess what's faith? Guess what faith is? The word of God. So if you don't live the word of God, how can you make him happy?
Come on. Amen.
He's not happy. Why would he give you your desires? In other words, see, unlike God, unlike us, we can't, you know, because we can trick each other. I can do just enough until Tiana give me what I want. But with God, he know your motive. So you can go to church just to get your husband. You go to church just to get that promotion. You can go to church just to get a raise. Don't you know God know your heart? Don't you know he know you're just pretending? You do know that, right? In other words, God know your lust before you do.
Yes, he does.
Well, Mr. Carr, but he's going to forgive us all. Well, if that's the case, why did he create the scriptures that said the road to heaven is narrow, few will find it? The road to hell was broad. So that means if he know your intentions and he knows your heart and he's going to forgive you and you're going to walk on to heaven, why would he do anybody else differently than he do you? That would make him a liar. There would be no need for judgment if he's going to let everybody in.
Come on.
He know your heart, but just because I know your heart don't mean that I'm not going to punish you. Y'all. Our lust will have us saying what I think, I feel. That's called lust. But see, when you know it's the word of God, Miss Tiana, when you start saying what God said, we get And we get snared up, Ms. Latanya, in situations, and we let lust take us over, and we end up talking about what I think and what I feel. And I'm just expressing myself, and this is just how I see it in my perspective. But that's your desire. Tell me God's desire. Because, see, we can argue all day. Even the natural court has a judge that says, when you two can't get along, I'm going to make a decision for you. God says, this is my courtroom, this is my world, this is my earth. Either you live by my rules or you will suffer the penalty later. But you can go ahead and keep on living by your own lust, talking about what you think and what you feel. I don't care how you feel. I still have something called a commandment. My son got on a cross that regardless of how he felt.
Right.
Now, what if Jesus didn't get on that cross because of his lust? Because his lust was to live. In other words, there was his desire. But God said, I need you to do something greater. In other words, I need you to go to the church. I need you to go to the world. I need you to go to the lost world, not for you, but for them. See, a lot of times we don't call in if the message ain't for us. But what if God didn't come here because he didn't have nothing to be penalized for? But he came because love made him, and it drew him, and because he is love. So what are we? Are we love or are we lust? Go ahead, Ms. Tiana.
Yes, sir. Are we love or are we lust? Yes, indeed. Those are definitely the choices that we must make. But you just said something. I need you to do something greater. I need you to do something greater. And that brought this topic really brought me to the time when Jesus told his disciples to do something greater, which was to go and cast out demons, heal others, and go out and share the good news. He actually said to them, take nothing with you, only the clothes on your back. But the question is, how could they survive? But the only way they could survive by going out and doing these things with nothing of their own was by love, in and through love. They didn't lust for anything. They definitely didn't need finances. But they were able to go out and do God's word through love and were well taken care of because of their service. But let's go to the exact scripture to show the power of love over lust and finances in the presence of God. Reading tonight is Matthew chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, which states, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. Don't take any money in your money belts, no gold, silver, or even copper coins. Don't carry a traveler's bag with a change of clothes and sandals, or even a walking stick. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve to be fed. But I have to say, let us be truthful. How many of us would step up to the plate and actually take on this assignment? First of all, go out and heal others and do this work that God's calling us to do. But then to do so without money, without clothes, we didn't get to pack a suitcase, we don't have the food of our own to ensure our earthly needs are met. Many of us wouldn't. But that's the disciples, right? The disciples, those who Jesus called, they took on that assignment freely, and they did it out of love. God tells us to choose this day, him or money. They could have easily chosen the money route, like, I need these things with me. I need to have my things and able to go out on this task you're calling me to do. But no, they chose love. They chose him. Because God in all his glory showed that anyone can choose love and follow the instructions Jesus gave his disciples. Truthfully, instructions he gives those who are sold out for him. Why? Because disciples were and still are from all walks of life. From scripture, they're fishermen, political activists, tax collectors, common and uncommon people, rich and poor, educated and uneducated, just like we are today. They walked without any tangible provisions, appearing to be in need to, quote from the scripture, give as freely as they had received. They gave the great news. They provided healing. They provided love in and through Christ. Remember, we never know when we could be entertaining an angel because God can give us, anyone, no matter how insignificant at first appearance they may look to be, he can use them to do his extraordinary work. And God gave me the revelation that not only did Jesus Christ instruct the disciples to do this walk, but Jesus himself walked with nothing except love. There was no room for lust, no need for finances. And we know this because even at his birth, he didn't have a roof over his head. But by working unto the Lord, he and his family were fed. By working unto the Lord, the disciples were fed. And by working unto the Lord, we are fed. And we're still talking about love, lust, and finances. Because God also showed me as well that even as a child, when Jesus was about his father's business, he went and disappeared from his parents and his family. But he went to the temple by himself with no earthly provisions, no desire for things, no finances, seeking only spiritual food, seeking only pure love. And if you're filled with God's love, there's no space for earthly desires to come in because you're fully fed. And when you do hunger, you only hunger to know more about him, to meet his will and fulfill on your purpose. Jesus being that example, as a child, he did not know necessarily all that he was supposed to do, but his hunger was to find out why was he supposed to be there? What was his purpose? What was he going to do as he grew to fulfill on his father's business? This just continues to show how we must trust in God's care rather than our own resources in and through our lives. But when we work, each of us, let's look at it every day. When we go to work, what? We expect something in return. We expect to be paid for our time and our services, don't we? We're looking forward to payday. For some, payday can't come soon enough. Because why? The bill has to be paid. I got to get this thing off a layaway. Oh, I owe somebody. I got to get these new Jordans. Ooh, the Beyonce concert is next week, and I can't be the only one not there. But let's sit back, because whom or what are we really working for? Are we living above and beyond our means? Are we giving freely to the Lord what we have received? Are we being good stewards of our gifts, or are we just using it all to fulfill on our desires and not his? This is exactly, that attitude, that action is exactly what pulls us away from love when we are not in God's presence. We must choose him. We must choose love over lust and finances. Even the Jews expected the Messiah to bring them wealth and power to their nation. They preferred material benefits over spiritual discernment. But as this scripture, chapter 10, verse 8, and through 10 clearly shows, the Messiah had not come to offer financial or material wealth. He came to offer love. And by choosing love, the disciples relied on God's provisions and not their own in their walk. And they involved others, which made the people receiving the message and the healing more eager to receive God's word. Chose love. So do you choose love or do you choose lust of finances? Isn't that the question, Ms. Latanya?
Oh, yes, it is. I've been, writing here. But the one thing I would say out of everything that you were talking about that stood out is we must trust in God's care. And the key word being trust. And he also talked about how, the disciples gave freely and the things that God had called them to do. And you posed the question, how many of us would have taken on that assignment? So I highlighted that because that is some good food for thought, something that we need to ask ourselves. And I'd actually like to reference the scripture that comes from 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. And it states, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? So we've talked about it all week. Just the vast difference between love and lust. So we know that, lust only cares for itself. It's all about our selfish desires. On the other hand, love is completely unselfish. So love has that compassion for the object of its affection. And compassion means to have, a feeling of deep sympathy. So you respond to the suffering of others, and it motivates you with the desire to help. And as Christians, we're supposed to have that agape love, the love that offers forgiveness, that unmerited favor. And we are not to expect anything in return. Oftentimes we do things and we say we did it out of love, but on the other hand, we're waiting for something in return for what we've done. But, you know, going back to lust, lust is something that has no room for love or compassion. You know, actually like to take us to Judges 16, and we can just go back and read that entire chapter, but it talks about Samson and Delilah. And basically, Samson fell for Delilah, and when he did that, it actually marked the beginning of his downfall and his demise. So it didn't take long for the rich Philistine rulers to learn of the affair, and what they did was they paid a visit to her. So at the time, Samson was actually the judge over Israel, and he had been taking out great vengeance on the Philistines. But they were hoping to capture him, and in doing so, each one of them offered Delilah a sum of money to collaborate with them in a scheme to uncover the secret of his strength. And what she did was she used her powers of seduction and deception, and she eventually wore him down. So she continued to pursue, and scripture tells us that it was like she was nagging him. He finally gave in, and he told her that his strength would leave him if a razor would be used on his head, because he had taken the Nazarite vow at birth, and that sanctified him. He was set apart to God, and as a part of that vow, his hair was never to be cut. So when he was asleep, finally, after she had learned that about him, she called someone in to shave off the 7 braids of his hair. And once this happened, this is when he became subdued and weak, and this is when he was captured. So when we go back and read that and we look at that story, I actually looked at it in the beginning, and I said, you know, he was very gullible because he was infatuated. This was a lustful type of situation or relationship, and his lust ultimately blinded him to the lies that she told in her true nature. So he wanted so bad to believe that she loved him that he repeatedly fell for her deception. Now, the question is, why didn't he learn? Why did he give in to the temptation and he gave up the treasured gift that he had been given by God? And the answer to that is basically because he was just like you and I. So when we give ourselves over to sin and lust, and we give in to Satan's trap, this is what happens. And when we're in this state, this is when we're deceived because it's impossible to see the truth. It's impossible to operate in that state that God wants us to operate in because we're giving in to Satan and we're giving in to our selfish desires.
That's right. And ultimately, if we don't acknowledge that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we are fixated on our provisions. And are fixated on acknowledging what he has provided.
Right.
That he's the one who's given us our gifts. And we have to rejoice because he loves us that much and gives us all that we need out of his love for us. Everything good comes from God. And we are in him. And if we are in him, our desires will align with his and our defiances will be used for his will. Thank you, guys, and I really hope that you were well-fed tonight. Mr. Cards, anything more you wanted to share before we close out?
No, everything was good, so we can go ahead and close it out, Ms. LaTanya, in prayer.
Dear Lord, we come before you at this hour on tonight to say thank you. Lord God, we thank you for the means of technology that you provided so that we may continue to come together as a ministry and fellowship in your name. Lord God, we thank you for all that you've imparted onto us on tonight. We ask that you will continue to go before us, lead and guide us in the path that you would have us to go. Lord God, we thank you for your grace and mercy that's so in abundance each and every day. Lord God, we thank you for this ministry. We thank you for our leader, Lord God. We ask that you will continue to cover us all, continue to keep and protect us as we continue to go forth and do the work that you've called us to do. We pray and ask all these things in the precious name of your darling son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Yep. Y'all make sure y'all call in on Wednesday for our Bible study. We have a Bible study on Wednesday, and then we have Friday morning prayer. So we will see y'all then. Y'all have a great night.
Good night.
Good night.